begin this morning with our scripture reading from the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. This is right after Jesus was baptized. And at once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. And then 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 11. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Will you pray with me? We come before you now, Lord, and we just thank you for the treasure of your life that's living inside of us. When we face these difficult times, Lord, we thank you for being there. We thank you for the example that you set before us. Lord, I pray now that everything that we say and do and the meditations that we hear, we pleasing unto you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Recently, there was a lady who was attacked by a jaguar at a zoo in Arizona, all for just trying to take the jaguar's picture. Now, before you start hating the jaguar, you should note that she crossed over a barrier that she wasn't supposed to cross, all so she could get a better selfie of her and the jaguar. Now, I'm sure on that barrier it had a sign saying, warning, wild animal, may bite or scratch if you get too close, and hate selfies. So it was her fault. You won't have to worry about me, your preacher, because if there's a sign or barrier saying there's a wild animal around, I'll be turning and going the other way. I know, like y'all, like me, you've probably had encounters with different types of animals that are out there. Just this past summer, I was doing some yard work, and I had my wheelbarrow, and I was going over to the edge of the woods to dump off some brush, dump the brush off, and I stepped back right there beside my right foot, probably this far away, was, I think, a copperhead slash python. That's how big it was. After a very high-pitched five-minute scream, I made it back to safety in my yard, and the next visit I made back to the edge of the woods was not with a wheelbarrow, but with a hoe. There was another occasion where, when our family lived up in the mountains, and we were visiting this beautiful overlook. There was this Elk Creek Valley that you would drive through, and we headed up the mountains to Jefferson National Forest, and you could turn on this dirt road, and this dirt road ran right on the ridge. So as you would drive this dirt road, you could see the Elk Creek Valley, and then you could see all the way towards Whithwell, just beautiful, breathtaking views. On our way back, there was a family of bears that crossed right in front of us. They're all beautiful when you're in the safety of your car, but if you happen to be outside of your car, then you might be a little bit worried. Well, I don't know what came over me, but about 4 or 5 months later, I was on my way back through that area. Being an avid runner, I decided that is going to be a wonderful place to run. And so the entire time I was out running that road, I kept thinking there's these bears that are out there. And so I started clapping as I was going along and hollering out, hello, this is just me. I'm not out to hurt you there. Just want to let you know in case you decide to try to eat me or scratch me or whatever. I don't mean any harm. But we know enough to avoid wild animals. At least we hope so. Hopefully you won't get out and run near in a bear habitat like I did. I didn't find any bears that day, which I was very grateful for. I don't know if it was because of the clapping or the hollering or what might have been. But anyway, luckily enough, made it through. In our text today, we look at this story about Jesus where he too spent some time out in the woods, out in the wilderness, or the desert as they would refer. And it was right after his baptism that he spent 40 days being tested and tempted. And Mark adds that it was during this time where he was with the wild animals. And I find it interesting that Jesus was there with wild animals, because we too face our times of wilderness. As we go through life, we'll face many different challenges and trials. We'll face times where we too are tested and tempted. And just like Jesus, there's going to be wild animals in our times in the wilderness. There's the wild animals of fear that's crouching close by, ready to pounce. There's temptation that's slithering right by your feet, waiting for the right moment to strike. There's despair that's circling around, waiting for us to be in a weakened state and to land. Our wilderness times are filled with times of challenge and tests. Our faith is tested. Our spirits are challenged. And the fact that it can be a tough time when we find ourselves in the wilderness. But if we're attentive, if we're looking out for those wild animals that are around us, then we can pass those tests and we can avoid those temptations. When I turned 40, I got a birthday card from a friend of mine, and it says, "As you grow older, don't worry about avoiding temptations, because temptations are going to avoid you." Now, that's not entirely true, but what I did find, as you get older, it's harder to get in trouble when you go to bed at 9 o'clock every night. But we're always going to be faced with temptations, no matter how old we might be. And especially in those wilderness times, those times in our life when we're at a low, when we're experiencing the worst of the worst, when we have feelings of being lonely, despair, when we are bitter and angry, in those times when we just aren't our normal selves and we feel weak. And it's those times that we sometimes give in to temptations. No one likes to be tempted. No one likes to spend time in the wilderness, to be tested and to face difficult situations and challenges. And so what a lot of times we do is we want to get out of that situation as fast as possible. We look for a shortcut. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he teaches about the dangers of shortcuts. Do you remember the passage about the narrow and the wide gates? Hear Eugene Peterson's translation out of the Message as he shares this. "Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that you can be practiced in your spare time. We can be tempted to take the easy way, even if it means compromising our faith, our values, and our beliefs." Sometimes we are tempted to take the shortcuts. In our wilderness time, we can also be tempted to listen to other voices instead of the voice of God. What do these other voices look like? When Jesus was tempted in the desert, in his wilderness, it says in Scripture he was tempted by Satan. So you might can think that there's evil around and it's got horns. That's what these other voices, that's what temptation is going to look like. But in y'all reality, these voices, the ones that push into our ears and our heart, they're not ugly or repulsive, but something beautiful and appealing. It's usually something that's created good that gets twisted and turned, and in time can become destructive and hurtful. Money, power, influence, sex, security, winning, fame, all are good and created good and beautiful, but in time and in some of these situations, in our temptations, we can become evil and destructive. Sometimes we're tempted to substitute these other voices instead of the voice of God. And we follow these other ways instead of following God's ways. In our times of wilderness, we are sometimes tempted just to give up. We face many tests and we find ourselves just ready to quit, to throw in the towel. But it's this challenge that we have to persevere. Paul, in the letter to the church in Corinth, he talks about this challenge that we face. He uses this image of us as jars of clay, these clay pots. And we have inside of us this treasure of Christ that we always hold dear. But then there are times where we find ourselves being pressed. But Paul says we're not crushed. There's times when we're worried and we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We face persecution, but we're not abandoned. We may be struck down, but we're not destroyed. Because we have this treasure of Christ inside of us. This treasure of Christ that helps us to persevere when we face the challenges. Early in the second century, there was a group of Christians known as the Desert Fathers. Think a group of monks. And they decided to just take a break from the normal society. And so, as appropriate with their name, they went out into the desert. There was one named John the Dwarf, probably because his name was John, and we'll say he was probably short. And so he decided that he was going to pray for all his passions to be taken away. His prayer was granted, so he was left without feeling. He was impassible, almost numb. So he goes to one of his elders, all proud. He says, "Before you, you see a man who's completely at rest and has no more temptations." So instead of a pat on the back, "That's my boy, Shorty," the elder surprised him. He said, "Go and pray to the Lord to command some struggle to be stirred up in you. For the soul is only matured in battles." Go and pray for some struggle. For the soul is only matured in some battles. Well, John the Dwarf, he did. And temptations came. And he didn't pray for the temptations to be taken away, but instead he prayed for the struggles and the strength to pass those challenges. When we find ourselves in these times of wilderness, we sometimes will see the temptations as traps. And so, yes, it's best to avoid them as we can. But there's also opportunities that when we are tested, when we are challenged, there are times that we can learn from them. As I mentioned before, we find ourselves in this season of Lent. And it's not traditionally a season that we celebrate as Baptists. Simply put, it is a season of 40 days, beginning on Ash Wednesday, leading up to the Easter event. And it's a time of inward focus. It's a time when we try to slow down and we look at our own lives and our own spiritual journeys. And we want to recognize in our humanity the sins that we have in our lives, the mistakes that we've made, our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups. And this idea, on one sense, is that as we recognize the sins in our life, we better appreciate our need for a Savior, and in turn, the celebration of the Easter event. But it also can be a time of learning, where we can identify some of the challenge we face in hopes that we can learn how to better avoid those temptations, or even better yet, to not give in to those temptations in the first place. But regardless of where we're at, when we do face those trials and tests, we can pray for the strength to make it through them. And we can rest assured on the promises that God has given us that we can pass those tests. No matter what we face, no matter what comes our way, God promises to be with us. God promises to sustain us. God promises to hold us up and to help us wherever our path may lead. Will you join me now for prayer? We thank you, Lord, for this call you've placed on our lives. This call to be obedient to your commands, to live a life holy, following the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But Lord, we fall short so many times. We have made so many mistakes. And in our humanity, we sin. But Lord, we know through your grace and through the forgiveness of Christ offered on the cross that you will forgive those sins, that you will forget them as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we pray that you will help us to confess those sins. We pray for the strength to make it through the difficult times when we find ourselves in the wilderness. And we just pray for your power to sustain us each and every day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to join along with us. If you look in our worship program, at the very end, we have a call to confession. As you're finding that, I'm going to invite you to read responsively, and then I'll close with a reading of the prayer of confession. Again, will you join me as we read responsively our call to confession? In spite of our quarrels and distrust, God provides grace to sustain us. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us confess our sin. Lord, you know who we are. You know everything we have done. We thirst for things that will never satisfy us. We commit ourselves to things that will never last. We worship things that will never bring salvation. Still, you offer us the gift of living water. Still, you offer us the gift of eternal life. Forgive us, O Lord, and give us this living water, so that we may never thirst again. Amen. I invite you to continue our worship.